Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Ireland's infrastructure is lagging behind its peers when it comes to housing, health, transport and electricity, according to the state spending watchdog. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council says that while Ireland is not lacking money, we do have a problem when it comes to the number of workers available and a strategy to build what we need. Well, joining me now for more on this is chairperson of IFAC, Seamus Coffey. Good morning, Seamus.
Morning, Claire.
So you paint a picture today of a state swimming with cash, but no real plan to spend it in a way that will bring us the best bang for our buck.
Well, I suppose the key is to try and get that plan. Like, we find ourselves in a reasonably good position, at least financially. But just looking at where we are sort of as a society and as a community, we're like a place that's sort of outgrown its clothes. We can see it with infrastructure, whether it's travel or transport around, whether it's housing, health, communications. And we see there's a need to catch up with some of our peer countries. And I'd say like the problem isn't necessarily a financial one. We're in the unusual position of having very significant financial resources, particularly from corporation tax. We face problems on the real side, looking at the labour and the quality and quantity of labour available to do some of this stuff. And of course, on the capital side, the assets. So it is a matter of doing a bit of catch up and trying to best use the resources we have. Like, we could throw money at the problem, but if you don't have the workers to do the get the actual output produced to get the results we want, and we could find ourselves in a bit of a difficulty, and we could end up driving up domestic inflation and leading to further problems. Like, one of the things we find is that the stuff we want is actually stuff we have to produce ourselves. Like, say if we wanted to transform our car stock from diesel and petrol cars to electrical cars, we could actually do that pretty quickly because we could get workers in Japan or China or Germany or France to make the cars, and we just buy them with the money we have. We want housing, you have to build that here. We want health services, you have to provide those here. So the difficulty we have is actually using the resources to get the best possible outcome.
Now, we'll come to the problem of a lack of workers in a minute, but I think people won't be surprised to hear that we need improved infrastructure. Everybody can see that and feel that in their daily lives. But we did hear an awful lot in the election campaign and since about the need to invest. So people might be surprised to hear you saying today that we don't have a proper strategy to deliver more effectively. Are you saying that there's no plan?
Well, no, it absolutely is. But like, I think the plan is very much focused on the financing side and looking at the available resources there. And that necessarily isn't the problem. Like, if you look at the actual delivery, and we can focus on some high key projects where there has been clear examples of failures in delivery. It's down to timing, down to planning, down to organisation, down to contracts. And getting those to work is quite difficult. Like, one thing with public capital projects is they can be viewed very much on a one-off basis. And you get people who just do one project and then maybe move on to different areas within the public and civil service, where actually we have ongoing delivery and could learn from the mistakes of the past to make it better. But with a lot of these things, we only do them once. Like, are we going to build two national children's hospitals? No. But I'm sure the team that are involved in that have learned an awful lot over the last number of years. So actually we'll be in a better position to do it again. So it's about learning from the sort of errors and the gains we've got from the past experience. Like, we do some things right. Like, we can look at, say, Dublin Airport and their expansion with a second runway. Like, that happened quite inefficiently. And a bit under the radar because it was a long-term plan to sterilise land and actually done at a reasonably efficient cost. If you can see them sort of across the water in the UK, the difficulties they're having with putting a third runway into Heathrow, a failure of planning, a cost that would be 30, 40, 50 times more than what we achieved here. So yes, there clearly are failures and high-profile examples where we can see that inefficiencies haven't been reached, but we also have some successes. It's just a matter of learning from those to do better in other areas.
Well, you're sort of making the argument there for what Simon Harris suggested during the campaign, the election campaign, the need for a Department of Infrastructure. Do you think that was a missed opportunity not to have a standalone department?
Not necessarily. I think we can have those learnings within each department. Like, in many cases, the real nitty gritty is kind of individual to each individual department. Like, the Department of Health looking at hospitals, Department of Education looking at schools, Department of Transport looking at roads. And it's within those individual projects that you're looking for the key learnings, not necessarily an overarching view that might miss some of the minor and key details. So I don't necessarily think that was a missed opportunity, but we can get a more coordinated and cohesive approach when it comes to delivery of these things. And like, some of it is within the control of the government, sort of the planning and the logistics side of it. Some of it's been outside of its control. Like, if we don't have sufficient workforce available, regardless of how you organise it, you're going to face difficulties.
Yeah. So how do you solve that one, the lack of workforce?
So one is like looking at the space within the economy, like are we targeting our resources to the best and most efficient manner possible? Are they going to the priorities we've earmarked? And like if something is a priority, we should be looking to address and move resources towards that. So for example, say if building new houses is a priority, well, does that mean then you look at retrofitting programs of existing housing? Which do we prefer, to upgrade the existing housing stock or to add to the housing stock? Should we be building data centers, hotels, pharmaceutical plants? And should we be directing our limited construction workers into what we think is a priority? If we try to do everything, we'll end up doing very little. Mm-hmm. And so you can do that. You can then look at making space in here. We actually find ourselves in a good, strong economic position. The unemployment rate is 4%. So perhaps you could look at trying to slow down activity in one or two sectors to provide more resources elsewhere. Now, these are choices that are very, very unusual from an Irish perspective. We were used to being a labour surplus economy. Like, we were plagued by outward migration. So we're not used to this position of having the financial resources and not having enough workers. It does present problems and they're unusual for us. And maybe we're unwilling to grasp the nettles in, well, we can't do this anymore because housing now is our priority. But that's what you must do. You must reallocate across the different sectors.
Right. You mentioned housing there. What's your view on the latest policy that emerged from government yesterday about relaxing the planning laws around log cabins?
It's not something we'd have looked at in any great detail. We wouldn't really have a strong view in it. We would see in overall terms planning being an issue, but whether that's...
Seamus, that was the context I was wanted to ask you about that, because you warned today about private investment being deterred by regulation and planning laws. So perhaps in effect what you're saying is measures like that log cabin idea, they're appropriate because they give businesses and individuals the wherewithal to solve these problems in an unencumbered way.
Yeah, I guess that would be very much at an individual level. It would depend on, I suppose, the individual house, the space available, whether it would be suitable for such a proposal. Like, we wouldn't be fully sure just the scale it would be possible on a proposal like that, or how much demand actually would out there. Like, yes, maybe you should offer people the choice, but I doubt it would have the real big impact that building tens of thousands of actual units would have. And like, when it comes to the investment, like, I think we've seen it in the completion stats and in the commencement stats and warnings today of slowdowns, particularly in Dublin. Apartments. Like, Dublin has about 70% of Dublin's housing stock is actual houses, 3 and 4 bed semi-Ds, like a greater completion rate of apartments. So, sort of rebalance the overall housing stock. But we've seen apartment commencements fall and stall in recent years. And that is somewhat worrying, given that that's probably the area where there's the largest demand.
Mm-hmm. Well, Micheál Martin has this new housing coordination unit that's going to be in within his department of the Taoiseach. Does that sort of fit with what you're recommending today, that there would be expert groups within departments driving and making sure that those delivery targets are met?
Yeah, again, we get a lot of focus on targets as if the government had absolute control over what was being delivered. Like, we have three parts of our housing system. We have the public and social housing element, we have the private rental element, and we have the home ownership element. And like the majority of houses that are built by the private sector. So while the government can have targets, by and large, it's outside their control. Like, you could say, oh, the government is going to build a certain number of schools. Well, that's their job and they should go and achieve that target. When it comes to overall housing delivery, yes, you can have targets or intentions, but by and large, they're not under the direct control of the government and the state. And when it comes to housing, like over the last 10 years, we've probably seen just a plethora and maybe too many changes and the rules changing. So yes, we want to see the state step in, and it has done so, and there should be a significant output when it comes to social housing. But we must look at the environment for private investment, which make up the majority of houses in Ireland, will continue to make up the majority of housing. If we don't have an environment where that investment is forthcoming, well, the state simply won't be able to fill up the gap.
Seamus Coffey from IFAC, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.